You're listening to the CKDU News Wrap, CKDU 88.1 FM and CKDU.ca online. My name is Nathan Lesnicki.
And I'm Sarah Gouda.
And we have a particularly topical interview for you today. Just to give a briefing, we just found this out literally moments ago. Meagher Park, which is a subject of much contention in central Halifax, was cleared out, or physically secured, as they call it, by police. And we have with us human rights advocate, longtime human rights advocate, I would say, right?
10 years.
Vicky Levesque. Vicky.
10 years.
10 years, yeah. Vicky, can you speak so we know we can hear you?
Check, 1, 2, 3, check.
There you go, yeah, okay.
Welcome, Vicky. Thank you for coming here today. We know you said you used to work for CKDU. Not crazy coincidence?
I did. I had a show for a couple of months anyway called Disability Debunked, which will be back in podcast form.
Tell us a little bit about, so you speak about disabilities and what else on your show?
Basically, the pitch I gave was, we're going to talk about everything we're not supposed to talk about in point society. And a lot of people have questions that they ask random folks. And some people get offended because of, how questions are asked. My goal with this show is to give people a space where they can ask those questions without fear of someone getting mad at them. As an educator, a storyteller, I am fine with answering those questions.
Well, why don't we talk about, why don't we talk about what Meagher Park means? The closing this morning, it was physically secured or fenced off by police this morning.
Yes,
you've long been involved in the Meagher Park issue, which has become, what would you call it, a refuge for the homelessness in Halifax?
I call it a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we do, or what we did there, was pick up the people who fell through the cracks. The service providers do a great job, and they work their butts off. But, you know, they can't help everybody. So what we did was pick up the people who would have been left on the street, who got kicked out of every shelter and had nowhere else to go. Those are the people we helped.
And let's talk about the most recent statement that the Halifax Regional Police put out on Meagher Park today. So this was released on 5:11 a.m. This, in response to media and public interest, HRP released, this morning, Meagher Park was physically secured by Halifax Regional Municipality staff for upcoming remediation work. Halifax Regional Police officers were on hand for support and assistance following deteriorating health and safety conditions at a park. A notice to vacate the park was issued on July 5, 2022, with a July 17 deadline for voluntary vacation of the park. And then they go on to thank everyone for their cooperations. This could be found on halifax.ca, Home News HRP statement, by the way, for those looking for the full statement.
So, Vicky, how many people were roughly using this as a last resort this time?
Well,
I know it fluctuates.
The numbers do fluctuate. At the height of the park, in about October last year, we had 30 residents at the height. Over the last week, it's been about 5 people we've been supporting.
Now, like, what does this mean? Because accessible housing has been a topic, even me not being an expert, it's just been a buzz in this city of everyone talking about it and how there's so much contention about where affordable housing is being built or not being built. How would you say that this Meagher Park incident, like, intersects with that?
Well, it showed, and I think this is why the city was so upset by it. The park showed publicly in a main part of residential area when people were doing really well and had these houses, were failing as a city to protect its most vulnerable. And the park was a visceral, blatant reminder of that. And I think it embarrassed the city. But rather than help people, they just wanted it to go away. Which is why they did the designated encampment sites. Which, by the way, are complete and utter garbage. I've seen those sites through pictures and heard them described by our residents. They are not safe. They're in the middle of nowhere, not very close to services. And, yeah, they're sort of, not sort of, they are out of sight, out of mind. Which I think shoving people away, whether it be in tent encampments or institutions like we do to people with disabilities, it's not going to solve the issue. In fact, it's going to make it worse.
Can you give us a name or two on the sites that you're speaking about, just so we can...
There's one by the shipyard. I believe they call it the Barrington Green Space.
Okay.
There's one... And that one by the shipyard has a 20-foot drop into the parking lot of the shipyard. And many people who are unhoused obviously have... substance abuse issues to deal with their trauma because there is very little mental health support. So they turn to drugs to numb the pain. And you want to put a bunch of people who are addicted to substances, including alcohol, near a 20-foot drop. Yeah, that sounds safe.
That's not a long-term solution, as many things aren't.
No.
So, Vicky, how long have you... You said you... 10 years of human rights advocacy. What led you into it, and how long would you say that homelessness and like the housing issue has been kind of the primary? Has it been the primary?
Yes. It's always been my primary focus. Initially, what happened was I was forced to move into a nursing home, and by forced I do not mean physically forced, but like many people, I was given no other options in order to get my care needs met. So I moved into a nursing home. Sorry. At the age of 21. And they said it was for young adults. But young adults, according to the province, means anybody 18 to 64. So, obviously, that was not suitable for me. But I was forced to do it. And I realized... I was screaming about myself, like, I shouldn't be here, like, something happening, and it's wrong, and it's happening to me. And then I looked around and realized, wait a minute, it's happening to a lot of people, being forced into situations for housing and shelter that they don't want. Not just institutions, but, like, people who can't afford somewhere, so they go live in a tent. Not because they want to go live in a tent, but because they have no other option. Because their government doesn't seem to care about you unless you're, like, rich.
Let's talk about some of the alternatives that were posted on Twitter by the YWCA. I showed you some of these, Vicky, and you said some of these were an okay, but you also said there's this issue where most of these housing, like the housing is temporary, right?
Yes.
So you said it's only for 2 weeks?
10 days.
10 days. So that's not really a temporary, that's more a...
That's temporary. A band-aid on a gaping wound.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, what do you think is the most appropriate course of action?
Well, like the recommendations have said, Any plan has to be resident-led, and the voices of unhoused people have to be put first, because in service providers and groups like that, we do a lot of work as advocates and service providers, but at the end of the day, we don't know what it's like to be unhoused in the current environment. We don't. homelessness with the has completely, completely changed than it did 20 years ago. So we need new solutions. Many of the people we were supporting at Meager Park had jobs and just couldn't afford rent. Mm-hmm. And we had many students who would go to school during the day and then come and sleep in a tent because if they paid their rent, they wouldn't be able to afford an education.
Something's got to crack in this whole housing situation. Yeah. That's my just general feeling about this whole thing. And you just talking about people who have jobs and can't afford rent. I think there's an impression that a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. And
most
even
Nova
that,
Scotians
and,
do.
Yes, and even that is no longer enough because the productive capacity of the world's economy has not kept up. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the subject of the last 40 years of economics, basically.
Yeah, it's, and the pandemic, of course, didn't help. And it's just, it astounds me that we are a G7 country, and yet there's people in the world, or people in this country, sleeping in tents. Some of them, not at Meager Park, but some of them with their children. And that's not okay.
No.
You say we need more population, so people have to be, well, first of all, we should just allow more immigrants into the country. Mm. But if you want population, if you want people to have babies, you have to make it affordable for them to have babies.
Yeah.
My friend wanted two kids. She always wanted two children. And she said, I can't. Just raising the one. I'm strapped enough. I can't afford to have another child.
And more we're also reading about people moving and living in their vans, calling it like van life. You see it as
a way
to...
You can afford a van, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend who's her and her wife with their kids. That's what they do. A lot.
And I think it's just becoming more and more prevalent that, like, in contrast to the horrific way that so many people have to live these days, living out of vans and tents, there seems to be so much waste that we're shoved every day, or so much shallow waste, so much money spent willy-nilly at things that don't matter. Yes. I don't know, not to get on a pulpit here, but...
Yeah, don't matter right now anyway.
Yeah.
Don't matter right now anyway. Like, the whole idea they wanted to do the art, a new art gallery, and I think that's been scrapped.
Right, it was scrapped.
I'm not sure.
That's right.
But, and I'm glad it's scrapped. And let's put that money, and I'm not against art, but we're in a housing crisis. Let's put that money to a fancy art gallery, but we already have one that works perfectly well. Let's put that money towards low-income housing. Because in my opinion, every extra penny right now should be spent on low-income housing. If the rent cap gets lifted, we will have approximately 2,000 to 3,000 homeless people in the city overnight if the rent cap is lifted, which I don't think it should be. Mm-hmm. But we are under a conservative government that feels like they want to lift it as soon as possible. I mean, they didn't even want to keep it in the first place. But public backlash made them keep it.
If you're just tuning in, this is CKDU News Wrap with Sarah Good and Nathan Wisnicki. Today we're here with Vicky Levesque, human rights advocate and volunteer.
We should brief people also that it's a particularly, and listeners should know, we were going to have you, Vicky, on anyway this morning, and
yes.
Then we just told us when you came in this morning that Meager Park, again, those who don't know, in central Halifax, subject of much contention in homelessness and affordable housing, was physically secured by police, fenced off this
yes.
morning after long argument.
And they said people left voluntarily, and I think that's the wrong word. People did leave, but they did not leave voluntarily. They left because they were threatened with police action. And we all know this, like, the public meeting that was held on a Tuesday forget which Tuesday, I believe it was 2 weeks ago now. Days all went together for me because I work 5 jobs. But they said in that, Chief Kinsella said, we will not hesitate to call our friends in from Cape Breton Regional Municipality Police, Truro Police, and the RCMP, as well as HRP. And then on Monday, which was supposed to be my day off, they announced that to our residents that police were gonna, if they didn't leave, police were gonna come with the, whatever the Canadian equivalent is, of a SWAT team and clear everybody out. So everybody ran because they did not want violence. They did not leave voluntarily. They left because they were under duress and threat.
They were voluntold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Vicky, this is not the first time you've told us you've been threatened by the police before. You've mentioned other situations where you said they would just stop in front of the park and just...
Intimidation is what I would call it. Because they did not verbally threaten us, but what they would do is, like you said, park their cruiser across the street for hours at a time and just stare. You know, and sit in their car, and they'd be on their phones and look up every once in a while and see what's going on, and then look back down at their phones. Now, I don't know, but I think, or at least that feels like it should be illegal, because you can't just stare at people who aren't doing anything wrong because you think they're going to do something bad.
Creates an atmosphere of intimidation, I guess, more than actually breaking it. Now, again, not to use, again, like hearsay, because we don't want to, like, leave anyone out, but I keep hearing that in outer Dartmouth are places where affordable housing could easily be built and yet isn't in lieu of more condos downtown. That's a complaint. I don't know whether this is true or not. This is a complaint I've been hearing a lot more. Do you think there's validity to that? Are there specific spaces that aren't being used for affordable housing that should
there, be? There's lots. I mean, if you look on Twitter under the tag, or not tag, it's an account, this should be housing. And that's gone. And I agree with that account. Everything that little sticker is on may not be easily converted to housing, but it could be converted to housing, and right now we're in a crisis, so it should be immediately that should start that process. And affordable to our illustrious housing minister is $1,500 a month. I don't know what planet he's on, but it's not this one. I don't know anybody who could afford $1,500 a month on their own.
I work 2 jobs, and that would be that's already, like, that's a chunk of money.
It's a large chunk.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was hoping Vicky, you were involved with People Spark since last year before, when it was a protest, and then it escalated to this. So I was kind of hoping you can give maybe those audiences who are not very aware of what's happened a little history rundown.
Of course. So on August 18th of 2021, for those of you who don't know, our police officers at the HRP went down to the library, the old library, on Spring Island Road, where people were sheltering. And they came in with riot gear and to dismantle the sheds that were built as shelter by HMA. Now, HMA has never said that their shelters are, like, the solution to the problem. And, yay, everything's fixed now. What they did say was, we need something, and people are doing nothing, so let's do what we can do to at least make it so people don't have to sleep in a tent in January. Again, they're not Baruch, but they're better than a tent. The city didn't like that because they didn't have the proper permits and they said they weren't safe, which I believe is complete baloney. I think they are safe. They're not great in the winter. They are cold. But again, it's better than a 10. So anyway, the city didn't like those. So they ordered them taken down. People were like, hey, what you doing taking shelter from homeless people? That's messed up. And they said, stop it. Stop doing that. Like, what the crap? And then more people came and said, hey, stop it. And eventually it escalated into a brawl. What I can only describe as a brawl. Now, I wasn't down there that day, but I saw the videos, as many people did, and their actions were atrocious. Just bloody atrocious. I mean, they pepper sprayed accidentally, but they did pepper spray a child who was just walking by with their father. And they pepper sprayed her
right in
the face.
God, I remember that.
Like, that's messed up, man. And then they blame the father for it. I don't understand. So it's just, none of it made any sense. So the people who were evicted from the library shelters took refuge in Meeker Park. And advocates who were there that day as protesters sort of took it over and made it a safe, like you've stated before, a safe haven for the unhoused that were displaced that day. And they fully staffed it for 40 days, 24 hours. And that's how PADS, or Permanent Accessible Dignified Safer Housing, was created. They have since moved on from doing like site work to doing more advocacy work with the province and the city. And so far, we're doing okay with that. They're still not moving as fast as we would like, but there does appear to be some minimal progress.
What can ordinary citizens, to use a cliched term, what organizations would you recommend that they, how would you recommend that everyone help in this issue? I know that's a broad question, but...
That is a broad question. Like, if you know where unhoused people are staying, check on them. They may not want to talk to you, but that's okay. You can just like anybody's house, right? You're like, knock, knock, can I help you with anything? And if they say no, then you leave them alone. But at least offer to help. And that doesn't mean finding them housing. Okay, we can't do that. But what you can do is offer someone a sandwich so they can have food. You know, what you can do is go through your clothes and get stuff that doesn't fit you anymore, that you no longer like, and instead of giving it to a Value Village, which makes an astronomical profit, considering their clothes are donated, give it directly to the unhoused. And again, you have to know where people are staying. Or you can donate to organizations that you know help homeless, and the money actually goes to the homeless. So places like Adsum House, Gender Affirming Care, Nova Scotia, PADS. I mean, I'm a little biased towards them because
you're part of
I work that. For them, but yeah. They are a good group of people, I can assure you. HMA, Halifax Mutual Aid. And you can, if you donate to them, not only are you putting money towards building someone a shelter, you're also pissing off the city. Because they don't like HMA at all. So technically, I like to give HMA money because it helps on two fronts.
Yeah. Yeah. Charity and spite.
Yes. Yeah. I do a lot of things out of spite.
Spite is a good motivator. Can't be denied.
Yeah.
So what do you think is next for the actual residents who were cleared or voluntold, as we put it earlier?
I just hope that they are safe in these new spaces. Some of them really like it, and that's great. Others do not and feel like they've been forced. For the ones who feel like they've been forced, I hope they're all right. I'm in contact with some of them. Just to say, like, hey, how you doing? Like, and make sure they're not injured or, you know, starving. And so far, they say they're doing all right. They're obviously very sad because they've lost their community. We really did build up a community there, and now we've lost that. Now, let me speak to the neighbors for a minute. I understand living next to Fields Park wasn't easy. Working there wasn't easy. But imagine what it's like living there. People are not, like, people did not live there because they wanted to. They did so because they had to. And yes, there were fights. Yes, there was, you know, some drama. Because there were people with, you know, trauma who don't have proper health care to help them deal with that trauma. So yes, they lashed out. But instead of going and blaming the unhoused for that, turn your anger towards the government and government in action, because they're the ones you should be blaming, not the victims of their neglect.
Now, you said you started getting a human rights advocate, you said, for 10 years, and it's funny you mentioned 10 years as a date, because I remember 10 years ago, the first time I remember occupying quote-unquote private space, and this being a subject of discussion of what constitutes private property, what is within citizens' rights to, for lack of a better term, house on, was the Occupy Wall Street protests.
Yes.
Back in 20, and that was about 10 years ago. That was the first time, obviously, homelessness and people's housing rights have been an issue for a long time, but that was the first time I remember that being a subject of, I guess, international conversation. So it's interesting that you entered human rights advocacy around that point. Do you want to describe what it was like getting in, like trying to get involved with the city back then? Has it changed at all?
It wasn't really the city at first. It was just, I was going after the province at first because with my own issues, it was the province that said, we can't support you in community. It was not the city. But then, you know, I got into the housing work, and then I got into for myself, and then I got into housing work for other people with disabilities, and then I got into a bunch of stuff, and it all just sort of, everything built on each other. And then I said, like I said, I really started working full time, by which I mean people were actually giving me enough work to work full time.
Mm-hmm.
On housing issues. I mean, the pandemic really opened people's eyes. I've been screaming for years that, like, we're in a crisis with the nursing homes and institutions in general, and we're going to be in a crisis, we're going to be in a crisis. And nobody was listening, it felt like. And then there was a crisis, like, not only myself, but many other people predicted. And people were like, holy crap. We're in a crisis. And I'm like, I've been saying that for years, and it didn't have to get to this point. But anyway, now people want to talk about it. So I, because now it's topical and sexy. So people just were like, oh, we want to listen to you now. And then I was like, better late than never. And I've been working ever since.
Thank you so much, Vicky. Vicky Levesque, human rights advocate and volunteer. And she just told us about the most recent update regarding the HRP vacating the People's Park.
Yeah.
Follow this news story, folks. This just developed, as we said, hours before we went on air. So,
yes.
Vicky, thank you again for coming on with us.
You're welcome.